Chapter 34. The broadside's captain shouted, "Clear away! Clear away! We're coming in hot! Half our systems shot out!" The crew of the shuttle, currently docked at the airlock dead ahead, apparently believed him. Through the cockpit door and the viewport beyond, Saya saw the shuttle thrust free of the airlock. The broadside's pilot did bring her in hot, beginning deceleration at the last possible moment. The shuttle did not so much dock as slam into the airlock and stick. Saya was thrown forward, held in his seat by the webbing, and a moment later, fake GAG troopers all around him were unbuckling, rising, readying their rifles. He managed to get unstrapped and rose, snapping his visor down. He fell into line behind Kip. The side door slid open. Troopers poured into the airlock. The door closed, and the airlock cycled. The far door opened. Blaster fire poured in through it, hitting two fake troopers, throwing them back and down, smoke rising from their burns. Saya slammed himself to one side, crushing someone against the airlock wall, and suddenly his entire universe was made up of black uniforms, blaster bolts, screams, and oaths. A shove pushed him through the airlock doorway. He sprawled on the deck plates beyond and looked up. His comrades were advancing by twos along the passageway wall, sustaining ferocious fire, responding with ferocious fire. Someone stepped on his back in passing. A hand on his arm, he yanked him to his feet, and Kip Duron hauled him against the wall to the left. The Jedi grinned at him, white teeth barely visible through his visor.
"I suggest you fire your weapon. Don't hit us."
Saya glared and did as he was told. Firing was good. It was something to concentrate on, something other than throwing up. Ben finished cutting the circle out of the Durasteel blast doors and, sweating, stepped back. The plug of metal stayed in place, its edges glowing. Ben reached toward it and, with an exertion in the force, pulled it toward him. It swung open like a hatch, then clattered to the deck plates. A small object, round and metallic, sailed through the hole. When it hit the deck, instead of rolling, it froze in place. Ben began to turn, crouching to leap, knowing he might not get far enough in time. He'd seen high-yield grenades before, and many had a blast radius sufficient to reach him in mid-leap. He was fast, but not as fast as Saba Sebatine. The Jedi Master simply reached out, and the plug Ben had cut from the blast doors flipped over, coming down atop the detonator. Saba's hand flattened as though she were holding something down. As Ben leapt, the detonator blew, most of its force now directed downward, punching a charred hole in the deck. The deck was still vibrating, and Ben's ears had only just begun to ring when he came down again, a dozen meters away. The three Jedi turned toward the hole in the blast doors. Blaster fire began to pour through, its density and angle suggesting three or four different sources. These weren't the narrow bolts of hand weapons, either. To Ben, they looked like they had to originate with heavy squad-level weapons. Luke, lightsaber lit and up, charged to the hole, batted away a flurry of bolts, and dived through. The barrage became less ferocious. Saba was next, squeezing through the gap with surprising grace. The noise made by the barrage of fire continued, but no more bolts came through. Ben gulped, then ran forward and somersaulted through the gap. He landed on his feet on the far side, warmed but not singed as he passed by the superheated metal of the hole he'd cut. Beyond, several meters away, four YVH combat droids poured fire at the two Jedi from the blaster cannons in their right arms. Ben focused on the droids' weapon arms, not their appearance. Tall, gray-black, with glowing red eyes, built to look like armored human skeletons, their appearance had been carefully designed by Lando Calrissian to anger Yuuzhan Vong warriors and frighten everyone else. Their death-like ugliness was distracting. Ben elected not to be distracted. Saba, her swordwork brilliant, was parrying full auto-fire streams of blaster cannon fire. Luke, more mobile, was avoiding the fire aimed at him. Like a dancer, he kept ahead of every stream, but was making no headway, and in fact was being herded back toward the blast doors. A few moments more, and the droids might pin him against the doors, denying him maneuverability, and finish him. But one of Luke's opponents switched targets. It aimed at Ben, sending its stream of blaster fire at him. He got his lightsaber up, caught the first several bolts, and was staggered, forced back by their power, which was so much greater than any bolt from a blaster pistol or rifle he had ever encountered. He might be able to intercept every bolt, but stopping them all would exhaust him within seconds. "Don't stop them. Just get rid of them." It was his own voice, not his father's, not his mother's, not Jason's. He angled his blade and let the incoming fire ricochet off it. The bolts angled up and to the right, pouring into the ceiling and walls, and hammering much less at his arms. Good. Now he could survive the attack for perhaps half a minute. "Yippee." He shook his head. He could be someone his father and Saba needed to protect, in which case he might get them killed. He could take care of himself, just barely, as he was now, in which case he made a lie of his assertion that he would be useful on this mission. Or he could contribute. But how? Let the enemy do the work. The operation's catchphrase flashed into his mind, and he knew what to do. He reached out with his free hand, grabbing and wrenching through the force at the blaster cannon arm of his enemy. Knowing how heavy the YVH droids were with their layers of laminanium armor, he exerted himself and spun the droid around, aiming its cannon at one of Saba's foes. The cannon fire took the YVH droid in the side, riddling it. It jerked in place, the glows fading from its eyes, then went down sideways, cut in half at the pelvis. Ben kept up the pressure on his opponent, maneuvering its blaster cannon to aim at Saba's second enemy. The droid ceased fire before hitting its other ally. A vent opened on its chest. Luke gestured, and smoke emerged from the vent. But the mini-rocket designed to fire from that port did not. A moment later, it exploded, blowing the top half of the droid off, leaving the legs still standing. Now there were two, each facing a master. Saba pressed forward, able to push her way up the stream of fire from her droid. Her target raised its other arm, an arc of what looked like lightning flashing toward her, but she caught that on her lightsaber as well, then ducked and rolled under both energy attacks, rising just beyond the droid, her lightsaber blade extended backward and up, into the droid's neck and head. The laminanium armor there did not yield easily, but the precision of her blow and the greater-than-human strength she could put behind it drove the point of her blade through what would in a human have been thoracic vertebrae, severing its head. Nor did she stop there, but spun, driving her point down from a high stance into the newly created gap in the droid's neck. Luke, meanwhile, gestured. His enemy toppled backward and down, rolled by a telekinetic exertion in the force to lie face down. It struggled to rise, but Luke pounced, putting the point of his blade against its back. He drove it home, slow going through the armor, and twisted it around until the droid ceased struggling. Saba pushed her dead foe over, sending it crashing to the deck plates, and eyed Ben.
"Good tactics," she said. "But warn this one next time. The stream of bolts crossed this one when the droid turned."
Ben winced. "Sorry, master."
"Do not be sorry. Learn."
She turned forward and resumed her advance toward the bridge. Luke grinned at him. "What did she say first?"
"Good tactics."
"Don't lose track of the praise, even in a stream of constructive criticism. Or vice versa. Luke turned to follow the Barabel Jedi. His feet ringing on the metal deck plates, Koyan sprinted through what seemed like endless corridors of Centerpoint Station, racing toward an airlock that his datapad map said was less than a kilometer away, which, he realized as he was forced to jump over the bodies of a GAG trooper and two dead Corsac security guards, meant that the enemy was within a kilometer of the fire control chamber. Things were bad. Though the corridors were narrow and unfamiliar here, the glow rods dim and the metal beams and panels of every passageway resembling those of every other, he found his way to airlock Epsilon 34G. He entered it, noted that there was a shuttle interior visible through the opposite viewport, and cycled it. Moments later, he stepped through into safety. But here, in the main cabin of the troop carrier shuttle, there was no one to be seen. "Hello?"
"Yes?"
The voice carried back from the cockpit.
"Get me to Coronet immediately."
The pilot rose from her seat and stepped out to stare at him. White-haired and almost as pale as an albino human, with a prominent supraorbital ridge and eyes as black as space, she was a Chief, and dressed in the blues of a Galactic Alliance officer. Koyan grunted and reached for his hideaway blaster. The Chief was faster. She drew from her holster and fired. Her bolt caught Koyan at the sternum, throwing him back and down. All of a sudden, sounds reaching his ears were oddly watery and distant, and his vision began to close in. All he could see was the ceiling of the shuttle cabin. He couldn't do anything anyway. The pain in his chest was excruciating. He heard the pilot speak.
"Cork, forgot to set it to stun."
His vision closed in more.
"Chinith to Anakin Solo. You'll never guess who I just shot."
Koyan's vision failed entirely, and he drifted through painless void. Sial's starfighter rocked. Everything outside the canopy glowed in eye-hurting red, and then she was past her opponent, curving around for another exchange. Wait. Her enemy, designated Rogue Six on the sensor board, was breaking away. And Rakes 1 and 2 were headed in toward her position. She continued her maneuver anyway, clear sign to her opponent that she was still in the hunt, that she was not relying on her squad mates to end this fight for her. But her opponent chose not to face three Rakes all at once. It turned back toward a cluster of Rogues, doubtless to return when it had a wingmate. Wedge and Sonola drew alongside her. Her father's voice came across her helmet speakers.
"Four, this is Leader. Report status."
"I'm intact. Minor damage to my thrusters and starboard topside laser."
As she continued, pain crept into her voice.
"A minute ago, I just vaped a Rogue."
"I did too. Rogue Leader. A Duros named Lindsay. A good man. They've made kills against us. Six is dead. Eight is dead or extravehicular. And two here is so shot up I'm sending her out of the combat zone."
Sonola's voice came across, a protest laced with pain.
"I'm still fit to fly."
"Then you're fit to obey orders. Get back to our staging vessel."
"Yes, sir."
Raquel, too, banked away, and Sial could see a continuous stream of sparks emerging from her starfighter's underside.
"Four, you're my wing."
"Yes, sir."